How's it going, everybody? It is once again me, Chewy, and I am one of the hosts of the podcast titled Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends. And I am once again joined by Mariah. How's it going, Mariah?
It's going really good. I'm really excited about tonight's topic.
Awesome, so am I. But before we get to that, let's go ahead and remind our listeners, Mariah, that we have social media. So they can find us on pretty much anything from Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, etc. The easiest ways to find all of our links would be to go to our Linktree page, which is linktree.com/mythsbehindLGDS. And if you're listening to this podcast through Spotify or Anchor, that link is posted on our profile, so you can just click on there and find us on social media and talk to us.
Yes.
So, Mariah, what is the topic for today's episode?
So we are going to talk about the movie Summer of 80.
Nice. So, had you seen this movie before?
Yes, I did. I watched it last year in 2021, and it was so amazing.
I liked it a lot. I had heard about it, but I hadn't seen it yet. So I didn't actually get to see it until maybe about a month or two ago, but I really liked the film.
Yeah, it's really creepy. Definitely, my first impressions, like not even like seen the movie yet or anything. The reason why I think I clicked it was because it kind of gave me like Stranger Things vibes just from like the poster, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, ooh, I really need to see it.
See, and you're not the first person to tell me that because pretty much everyone that I've talked to about this movie in the or that I've seen talk about this movie online or something like that, they mentioned Stranger Things, and I just binged it the other day, the latest season, and I can't wait for the next part of
Oh, yeah.
it. So, I mean, nothing wrong with that. I mean, I love that show. But I just want to make a comment how influential that show has become, that pretty much everything that is a throwback to the 80s is instantly compared to
Yes. Yeah,
it.
they did an amazing job with it.
Oh yeah, definitely, especially the last season. Oh my God. I was like, I'm gonna watch a couple episodes, and nope. I watched like the whole thing in one sitting, and I was like, before I knew it was 4 in the morning, and I was like, okay, I'm done now.
Whoa, yeah, it's definitely long.
I think that if the whole thing had been published, I would have seen everything. But anyways, well, that's a little bit off topic. So
Yeah, same
I
here.
just wanted to mention that how much I like that show. But yes, I agree with you that this movie does have that kind of vibe, in the sense that it's a team of kids or teenagers that comes together. I mean, they're already friends, but they come together to investigate a serial killer on the loose in their town.
Yeah.
So, I wouldn't really call this a horror movie out and out, but it does have elements that make it pretty disturbing. So it can be thought of as horror for some people, but it's not horror in the sense of there's no monsters, there's no ghosts, there's no supernatural stuff, but there is a killer. So you want to go ahead and lead the discussion, Maria? Start us off with it.
So I was really interested because, of course, like the poster looks like super like Stranger Things vibes. So I was hooked. But in the beginning, I was like really scared when Mackie, I believe, is the police officer. I
Yeah,
think
the
that's,
ham.
yeah,
Mackie.
Mackie and Davey have a conversation, which is Davey is the main character, the little boy. So, he also has like a newspaper route that he does in the neighborhood. So he goes and he's trying to collect, like the newspaper money, right? In the beginning. So it was really creepy just how, Mackie tells him like, "Hey, I got something inside. Come and help me." Kind of thing. And I just like my first thought was, oh no, this is the first victim. Or, like instantly, that's like what I thought. I thought, oh no, he's gonna kill him, and then he just like gave me that vibe, like that serial killer vibe. And then Davey goes inside with Mackie and they're inside the house. So thankfully, it's just like a kind of like a furniture piece, like, a small furniture piece. So at first too, before I like they did the camera angles, at first I thought it was like a coffin, like like a little box that they like put a child in, because it kind of looked like that at first. But then, at the angle, I was like, okay, no, it has like an opening for drawers. So I was like, okay, so they go to the red room and stuff and they place it there. But when they're going down the basement, they see this like Davey, the first thing he sees is this door, and it's just like my hair, like my hairs on my like arms like went up, because I was like, oh no, I've seen a lot of like crime shows. And it's always that one door that's like off limits, that's just like, oh no, like something's not good. And he had a gut feeling from the very beginning that that door was, spooky.
Yeah.
So yeah. So that was like probably one of the first scenes where I really loved it, because they did an amazing job, just kind of opening up the movie and just kind of making you draw in more, like, oh no, it's gonna happen to this little boy. And it's just kind of like foretells like danger.
I want to agree with pretty much everything you said on that because that is that whole sequence in the beginning is like the first what 5 10 minutes maybe of the movie.
Yeah.
I thought it's pretty well done. I mean, you mentioned the door and the dark basement and everything, so these are all cliches, quote unquote, of horror movies.
Yeah, all the
So
red flags.
exactly. So we as horror fans identify that right away. It's like, oh no, hell no, this is not a good place for this guy, little boy, to be with this dude, you know?
Yeah.
So, but even though that's the case, I think the movie, I mean, and it's not the only cliches that are shown in this movie, by the way,
Yeah.
but I think the story is paced well enough, and the way they did the movie, I mean, I guess they filmed it and everything, it's pretty refreshing. It's basically a modernized slasher movie, even though there's not many deaths on screen. But I mean, once again, you have a killer. So this is basically a 21st century slasher movie like the ones we had in the 80s.
Yeah, definitely.
So I agree with you, the whole sequence is pretty unnerving, it's pretty creepy. You see this boy running in the neighborhood and it's a sunny day, a bright summer day probably, maybe. Everything looks picture perfect, but he says something in the beginning that I want to bring to attention because it's, I think, one of the best opening lines in movies ever. So essentially, I'm gonna see if I can do a good impression of him. So I'm gonna quote him, the boy, Davey. So he said this: "Even serial killers live next door to somebody. Tough pill to swallow, I know, but it's true. If I've learned anything, it's that people hardly ever let you know who they really are. Just past the manicured lawns and friendly waves, inside any house, even the one next door, anything could be happening, and you'd never know. And that's the thing about this place. It all might seem normal and routine, but the truth is, the suburbs are where the craziest shit happens. You never know what might be coming around the corner."
Oh man, that gave me chills. That's like a little scary, because I'm like, oh no, should I worry about
I mean,
my
that
neighbor?
is
They're so nice.
it. See, but they're nice to you on the surface, but do you know who they really are? Do you know if
No.
that for a fact that they don't have bodies in their basement?
Right. Yeah, definitely. I don't know. That is so scary. Because, Mackie, he comes across like this, like, genuine, like there's still something off about him
Oh,
that you
yeah.
can just tell automatically. But like just appearance, like before even talking to him, you kind of get the sense like, oh man, he's a really nice person, he has a nice house, he has like friendly smiles and is always watching over the neighborhood and stuff. And you wouldn't have never thought that this guy was danger.
I mean, if anything, he looks a little weird because, I mean, he's an older dude and he lives alone, so you kind of start getting like, what's something maybe off about him. But I agree with you. I don't think he gives off like killer vibes right away. I think he just gives
Right
off.
away, yes, yeah.
He to me, the first time that I saw the movie, I just thought he was gonna be maybe like a suspect, but not the main one. And it turns out that he's the because you know how sometimes they do that where they make one person appear to be the most suspicious and then at the end it's somebody else completely different.
I love those that just like surprise you. And this one definitely did. Like, I had no idea. So that's what made it even more fun for me as a horror fan. Like, get so excited. It just, oh man, it was like a turn of events for sure.
I mean, yeah, like I said, sometimes movies do that whole switcheroo thing where they for the most part of the movie, it seems like one person's the killer and it turns out to be a different person at the end.
Yeah. And then they have you thinking it's this one person. And then they flip the script.
Yeah, but I like the fact that in this one they actually kept it with the original guy that they made it the first suspect. So I like that. Because even that whole bait and switch thing has gotten a little old by now.
Yeah.
I definitely think that's one of the better things about the movie. I think we can pretty much agree that the beginning is pretty cool.
Yes, for sure.
But I do have one more thing to mention, though, or a couple more things to mention about the beginning, is that the pictures on the wall. So eventually you find out who these people are. You find out it's the people this guy has killed, or people who he has taken their kids from.
Yeah.
But he tells everyone it's their family. Oh, it's my cousins and whatever, it's my nephews in this place. But I mean, you have to wonder if this guy was being either stupid or courageous. Or I mean, I don't mean courageous in the sense that he's brave, but no, let me strike that. Let me say he's stupid or bold. Because stupid because well, he's been killing people for over 10 years by the time this movie started. It's been going on for a whole decade, so he's already affected a lot of families. And he keeps, like a lot of killers do, he keeps mementos or quote unquote trophies of his crimes, which is what these pictures are. But not only that, but he's displaying them for people, like anyone that visits his house can see them. And he tells them, oh, it's my nephews, or oh, it's my cousin, or it's this or that. So that's pretty bold of him. So at some point in the movie, they do mention that maybe he got bored and he wants to get caught. Do you think he wants to get caught, or he's just being like really weird?
Yeah, I would say really weird and like off as in like he just maybe gets like a thrill of seeing their pictures every day, and that's probably what motivates him to see kind of like trophies. You know what I mean? Kind of in that sense. That's how I'm kind of picturing. That's what I think is going on.
And then the other thing about the beginning that creeped me out was the picture room, the red bulb, the red light bulb.
Oh yes, that room, yeah, where they take their furniture piece
Yeah, so
and
for the younger people in the audience, back in the day, you couldn't just take pictures on your phone because we had no phones. Not cell
yeah.
phones, at least we had the house phones. But what you have to do, and if you're a professional photographer, I think people like that still do for pictures and for a living. They still develop film, but basically what they have to do is put a roll of film in the camera, take their pictures, and then take it to this room and process the film in a way that it needs to be in a dark room with a red light, because otherwise you ruin your pictures. But that makes for a very creepy setting for a horror movie because this guy has this boy pretty much by himself down there, and it just looks creepy.
Yeah, it just like reminds me of like part of like a haunted house attraction or
Yeah.
something.
Exactly. So The next thing that I thought was pretty interesting, and I don't know if you're gonna agree with me or not, is when he basically figures it out way in the beginning. So he's not sure yet because he hasn't collected any evidence, but he suspects, like he already in his mind figured out who Mackie really is. So he has the crew there with he's telling them everything as far as, yeah, it's him because of this and that, and then his friends are like, nah, you're crazy, you're stupid. And so it's like a little montage. He tells them he saw a kid with Mackie in his house when they're playing hide and seek or whatever, manhunt they call it. So he saw a kid sitting with him in the kitchen, and he offered him a drink or something like that, and then he sees a picture in a milk carton that looks just like the kid. And so that's when they developed the whole plan around the guy's schedule. So, how dangerous is that?
Oh man, that is just so scary. Because, I mean, honestly, you're doing like a manhunt, right? On this guy that you already have a feeling like, I mean, at least for Davey, he knows in his heart, like he feels something. This is a killer. Imagine just like being in an actual killer's house trying to find evidence, you know? Like that would, oh my gosh, that just, I don't think I would even have the guts to do that just because I would be so scared.
No, I
But you
wouldn't.
have to, I feel like, yeah, I feel like you would have to be like extremely like brave and also like not feel like, or I don't know, just kind of throwing it out there, like I'm gonna get this guy, kind of really motivated in a way. But yeah, I would say super dangerous. Like if that was my son or something, I would be so scared for sure.
Especially now, because now people have cameras in their homes, so you can't really sneak around anyone's house anymore like these guys were
Yeah,
doing.
thankfully we have cameras now, and they're kind of working, you know, a little bit on the pixels and
Oh
stuff, you
yeah.
know, it's, I feel like technology is getting there, kind of, but we're
But
getting there.
yeah, so I mean, this whole plan would have fallen apart in like 2 minutes because this guy would have had cameras around his property if this was
Yes, and he would
happening.
have caught him, or even like said something through like the speaker, because a lot of the now cameras have
Oh,
speakers where you can
that's
like,
right.
yeah, which is really even more creepier. You're like, oh no.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you that actually, but you already answered my question. Would you ever investigate a person's house that you thought was a criminal?
Oh man, probably not. But at the same time, like I guess if I had some type of permission, like if I had to like house sit, you know, or if somebody was house sitting and stuff and like I was friends with them or something like that, maybe. But yeah, I probably would definitely not trespass unless like I have permission. But even at that, I would still be really scared to even go through stuff of somebody.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mention that because sometimes I house sit for my bosses, and I'm actually gonna do that in the next couple of days.
Oh,
So I've done it a few times already, and they ask me whenever they go out of town to watch their house and their dogs. So even then, when I have quote unquote permission to be in their house and look around and this and that, there are doors that I don't open ever. There are rooms that I never go into. Not only because they have cameras, mind you,
yeah.
but even if they didn't, I wouldn't because I don't know. Like I would feel like if I let somebody in my home and I tell them, "Can you watch my house for me for a couple of days?" I wouldn't want them to go through my drawers. I don't have anything, or do I? And I just kidding.
Yeah, like I guess I would probably say if there was something out that I was house sitting and you know it was like in my view and it was like kind of scary, or I would be like, oh no.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know because I say that because it's easy to be outside looking in. But let's say that I was house sitting for somebody else, not my bosses, but somebody else, and I somehow became suspicious that they had some sort of criminal streak going on. I don't know, maybe not something as serious as being a killer, but maybe they're a thief or something like that. I mean, part of me would kind of want to Look around, see if I find any clues, but part of it would be like, nah, I don't want to get involved in
Yeah.
this. So, do you have another scene that you thought was interesting about the movie or that stood out to you?
It's funny because you were just talking about the Mad Hat, and that was actually one of mine.
You mean the one at the end? Or which one?
No, in the beginning about like how, well, I guess you kind of mentioned it a little bit about how, Davey suspects like it's Mackie
Oh,
who's
okay.
the killer. But yeah, that was probably one of my other favorite scenes. You have like a group of friends, right? Like cool, like three friends that are like, your besties and stuff. But like you live in a place where like it's not like super boring. Like all you can do for fun is like go bicycling, on your radios and like walkie-talkies and stuff, and like, kind of like play pretend, or not play pretend, but like do, like cute like stuff like that. But then when this happens, about a serial killer in the neighborhood, like that's what I loved about that scene was like, oh man, the boys, or especially Davey, like nothing ever happens here. Like, let's go on a manhunt. And then, he tries to get all the boys like hyped up, like, let's go do this thing. And then like one of the kids is like all obsessed with like one girl who's across the street, I
Oh yeah.
think, and stuff. And they're like, all like gaga for her and stuff, which is so cute. But yeah, I loved that scene where I was, because I've kind of felt that in my heart. I was like, as a child, you're like, man, I want to do something like really exciting. And so when something like that happens at a place where nothing ever happens, I can imagine just like the excitement.
I agree with that because growing up, I mean, even now, even now that I'm close to being 40 years old, I still want to kind of be a part of something cool. If
Yeah.
that makes sense, I kind of think I put myself in the shoes of these kids in the shows or in the movies that we watch nowadays. For example, Stranger Things or this movie. And it's like, man, I remember how it was when I was a kid and I was hanging out with my friends and. Yeah, we'd go bike riding or we'd go play basketball or do this and that. And then eventually you grow up and you stop doing those things. But now that I'm getting older, it's getting to the point where I'm thinking a lot about those days. And it's like, man, I miss being able to just go home after school and pick up my bike and go out riding or playing a video game or calling my friends on the phone and just talking to them about stuff. And yeah, it's a very nostalgic scene for me, I guess.
Yeah, that's definitely the vibes that I got off of that. There was this creepy lady who lived nearby, but apparently we didn't know at the time. She had like passed away and stuff. We didn't know, but like we remember seeing her, and then she came out on the newspaper too. So yeah, that was really creepy. We thought we saw her. So just like the excitement of like trying to investigate, like did we really see her? And that's kind of like, I don't know, just it was like a rush of excitement. And that's creepy too, As a kid, you're like, oh man, this is so creepy. Let me look more into
Yeah, of course,
it.
because you're not gonna stop. I mean, you're gonna wanna keep
Yeah.
going.
Yeah.
So, I gotta talk about the next scene that I thought was pretty cool and interesting, and that would be when they start exploring the house of the kid they think is missing that they haven't seen for a few days.
Oh, yeah.
That's in the same street, I believe, as Davy's house. So they go in there, the four of them, because they think this kid and his family are gone. They're missing. They haven't been seen in a few days. So they break in, they open the door, and they're walking around in the dark, and then the phone rings. So the build-up to that whole scene is when they're breaking in, and it's all dark, and they're snooping around, and they're quiet and whispering. And then all of a sudden, the phone rings. So that's a pretty well done jump scare.
Yeah. Oh, I hate those jump scares sometimes. Cause like they kind of catch you out of nowhere. It's like keep watching, and then it's like boom. And I don't like those sometimes, where I just like get scared.
I mean, you had to know something was
Because
coming.
unexpectedly. Yeah.
And the cliche is usually the phone or a cat.
Ugh.
So, and me being a cat person, I mean, I don't really get bothered by cats or whatever, but some people are terrified of them. So,
Yes. Yeah, I know a few people who
yeah.
don't
And,
like
oh,
cats.
and not only was the phone ringing, but then they see the ha like a mysterious hand just pop out of nowhere to answer the
Oh,
phone. And it's
yeah.
none other than the babysitter, Nikki.
Yeah.
So that whole sequence was pretty cool because they had two jump scares in one, basically. It was a phone ringing, and then as they're getting close to answer it, the hand shows up from behind the wall, and it's the girl.
Oh,
So
so creepy.
so then she explains that what they're away on a vacation or something, and that she's watching the house for them. Yeah, so but why was she in the dark though? Why didn't she turn on a light on or something?
I don't know. It is. It kind of makes you think, like, what was she doing? Was she like ghost storing?
And maybe she was asleep.
Yeah,
It's
probably.
possible because I mean, I don't think they mentioned what time it is, but it's I would assume pretty late at night because it's already dark and it's summerish. So I think in the summer it's lighter, or it gets dark, sorry, when it's later in the day. Do you have another one for us?
Yes. So it's when Mackie saw Davey like with the walkie-talkie in his garden, or I guess like in his, what was it? Like not in his garden. It's kind of like outside
In
the
the lawn.
window. Lawn, yeah. Yeah, so that, oh man, like I think I've done that before where I'm like, I used to do this when I was a little girl. I used to like try to like scare people on their windows. Like it was random, like strangers. I don't know why, I just wanted to be creepy. And then I remember one time somebody scared me back because I was like, boo, or trying to like scare them. And then they end up scaring me. It was really creepy. But that's what this reminds me of, that time. I must have been like 4, maybe. It was before my heart operation, thankfully. And yeah, so it's kind of crazy. Like as a kid, like you're thinking like, oh man, I'm gonna catch this guy like right away, and then they're like 2 steps ahead of you
Oh, yeah.
and stuff. And what's more scary, them finding a bloody shirt, actually. In Mackie's.
Yes, I think either they find it because they break into his garage or they find it in the trash can. One of the two, I forgot, but.
Yeah, I don't know if it was a trash can. Not sure, but yeah, and it belonged to one of the missing boys. Yeah, and like, oh, ugh, that too. It gave me chills because I was like, get out of there, get out of there. You're gonna be next, kind of thing.
And it's super bloody, and then the guy's Mackie, he's like, "Oh, my nephew cut his thumb or whatever, his finger," and
Yeah.
it's like nobody bleeds that much from a cut thumb unless they sever the thumb altogether, like,
Yeah.
as the thumb came completely off his hand. But I mean, whatever.
Ugh.
So yeah, but that was
So
a pretty cool scene, I guess. Are you talking about when he's snooping around at and he's.
yes, kind of like when he's m still manhunting, or trying to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, so he's walking around the lawn, and then Mackie opens the window, and they face each other. Yeah, that was a pretty well done shot, I think. Also, the whole movie revolves around the kids trying to find evidence and trying to find stuff that can incriminate this guy, and this guy, like you said, being always, it seems, 2 steps ahead of them. Because, I mean, he's a cop for one, so he knows tricks and stuff like that, I guess. How to sneak around, and he's also a serial killer, so he's been avoiding capture for over 10 years already. So you don't get to that point by not being smart, by not being able to cover your tracks, by not thinking ahead, I don't think. And not that I'm praising this guy for being a killer or anything, but he's always, like you said, ahead of them as far as their thought process. So to me, it's another little sequence that I like. It's when they follow him to the storage unit and they find him with the other car, and he's got stuff in his trunk, And then the kids think they have some evidence, so they go to Davy's parents and they tell them, hey, I think this guy's the killer because of this and this and this. And Davy's parents are like, oh, hell no, you're crazy. So they actually force the kids to go apologize to this guy, to his house. And they make them tell him why they're doing this. And Davy's like, well, we think you're the serial killer. I mean, so of course, yeah, the guy reacts by laughing, but I mean, what else can he do? Because he knows they caught him, but he also knows they don't have conclusive evidence. They can't prove it. So that whole thing was pretty creepy. And then it caps off with him going to Davy's house to ask to go in to use a phone or something like that. Yeah, so that was pretty creepy because he went to Davy's house. He knew he was by himself in the house. And he kept trying to let Davy to let him in the house. And well, you know he's gonna kill him, or he wants to at that point. But Davy's pretty smart and he's like, nah, nope, you're not coming in. So then he asks him, well, call your nephew. And the phone cord extends like, I don't know, 30 feet or something. It's a ridiculously long phone cord. But I mean, that whole sequence is pretty creepy because he calls a number and then he's like, oh, they're not answering. And then Davey's like, well, he calls the number again and it's Mackie's house.
Oh man. It just was like, it's like Davy knows, like he was there to kill him. Like, can you imagine just like knowing that? Like, oh
Yeah,
man.
somebody ringing your doorbell because they want to end your life. And you know that if you let them in, that's it, you're done. So it's a pretty interesting scene because I think they're kind of playing mental chess with each other, see who makes the first mistake, kind of thing.
They're both
So
very smart in a way.
yeah, Davey's pretty smart for his age. I
So
mean, he's what, like 15 years old, whatever? 14 or something?
smart.
So it's pretty interesting that he's able to keep up with Mackie as far as like, no, I'm not gonna make a mistake here. I'm not gonna let you into my house. So they're kind of trying to gauge each other as far as, oh, what point are you at? Where are you at? Well, let me get ahead of you. And then like, no, I'm gonna get ahead of you, kind of thing. So I think that whole sequence was pretty interesting. So you got more for us, Maria?
Yes. Okay. I know this is kind of like in the very beginning, kind of went on beginning-ish. But you know, Davey is also like trying to like search like newspaper articles and stuff, and it's so cool because they're at the library, and I don't know. That was also like when I know it's not even like horror related, but it kind of reminded me of The Ring, which is my favorite movie ever. But it reminded me of like when the reporter is trying to, you know, get to the bottom of it and stuff, and then she goes through like lots and lots of newspapers. And I think it was just so cool how back in the day, you know, they had the uploaded newspaper, but like on this big screen. Kind of almost kind of like what we have today, but it was a very different time back then in the 80s. I love like all that way how to access like, you know, like crime newspapers and stuff. So I don't know, it was just like one of my favorite stuff because I actually own a lot of like old school newspapers actually. I wish I would have been around in that time just to be able to like experience like the whole like newspaper stuff and just like the colors and stuff. But anyways, yeah, totally not horror related,
No,
but
I mean you're fine though. You're
it
fine. I mean,
actually
cause
tells you know, like how to do your research, you know, and get to the bottom of it. So
yeah. I mean,
yeah.
you're fine. I mean, it's about what the scenes that we think are interesting about the movie, and it's interesting that you mentioned that one scene because they do something similar to that. Actually, the exact same thing in Stranger Things, in one of the episodes. Some of them go to the library and they're investigating something about one of the characters. And I don't want to say anything in case somebody hasn't seen it yet.
Yes, but exactly like it. Like the computer. I mean, I think it is the computer.
Yeah, it's a computer,
But
but
it's like an old,
yeah.
and it's so
Well,
slow.
and actually, I think back then, I don't think it was a computer already yet. It ended up being a computer later, and then it just became like the internet, whatever. But I think what they did back then, and if anybody out there can correct me if I'm wrong, please do. But I think they would take a picture of the actual newspaper articles and save them in this thing called a microfilm. So basically, you are watching pictures rolling like in front of you.
Yes. Yeah, and it had like a roller thingy.
Yeah, it's more similar to those overhead projectors. I don't know if you got around to see those in school.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I own one.
With the transparencies and everything.
Yes. Yeah. Those are
So,
so cool.
yeah, the younger kids are like, what the hell is a transparency?
Yeah. Like, what is
Yeah, but I mean,
that?
essentially, you would make a copy of a paper or whatever you had printed out, and they would print it on a clear paper, which is why it was called a transparency. And you would put this page on a projector, which would turn on, and then a light would shine on it, like an actual really hot, bright light would shine on it, and it would project onto a screen. So it's not like the ones we use right now, because those are digital. The ones they used back then, they were basically huge boxes with this metal arm that had the light bulb shining down on it, and then you projected everything in the front. So yeah, that was pretty cool. So yeah, I mean that takes me back to when I was in middle school, I think, in the mid-90s.
Yeah. Oh man. I don't even think I was born
Man, I was in middle school from yeah, the mid-90s. I'm not gonna say anything else.
I was like one.
So
All right.
anyways, yeah, anyways,
So what is yours? Your next
yeah, the
one.
next scene that I wanted to talk about was when they actually go into the house. This is already getting close to the end of the movie.
Oh, I think that is one of my other one favorite
Yeah,
ones. But yes,
because
keep going.
so I picked this one because this is definitely where the stakes are already higher, for sure. Everyone and their mom is at the town festival, and including Mackie, by the way, so his house is deserted for the moment. So Davey and his friend Woody and the babysitter Nikki basically break into his house, and they're exploring the house, and this whole scene, it's really well done. Because they break into the house and it's all dark and they're exploring, and they find this room that's basically Mackie's room when he was a kid. And he's got all these pictures and baseball, not trinkets, but memorabilia. He's got this signed baseball from somebody from the 50s, and he's got all these pictures and stuff like that. And his room looks, or that room looks decorated like basically what a kid's room would look like. So, and then they open the door that Davey saw in the beginning of the movie, and they find all these pictures of the kids and the bathtub with the body in it that's already basically half melted in the acid, and then they find the other kid that's still barely alive. And they're recording all this because they have this camera, and it's a camcorder.
And
So
it is a big one.
yeah, so again, if you're a younger one along, somewhere out there in the audience, that was what cameras looked like back in the day. That was how people would record their home movies, with cameras that were basically like 10 pounds, 15 pounds, whatever.
Yeah, like can you imagine just like carrying that heavy thing and just like on your, I guess, like shoulder, you
Yeah.
know, and trying to carry it. Oh man, I would probably be falling off. And then imagine carrying that thing and like seeing a dead body at the same time, like
Yeah, in the
and
dark.
then trying to, oh man, no.
So yeah, that's why I picked this whole sequence, because they're basically in the lion's den at this point. They're in the place in which this guy commits all his crimes, and basically they're there to either find evidence that this guy's a killer or be f defeated once and for all. But they end up finding the evidence. So they find this half melted body in a bathtub, and they find some other dude that's barely alive. So, how would that make you feel?
Oh man, that would just, I felt like my heart would fall into the ground. Death. And I probably have felt that before, maybe once in my life, like almost seen kind of almost like that thing in real life. But thankfully, it was kind of similar because like I had a similar experience seeing something like that in real life. It was like bathtub, but like bloody.
Oh, wow.
And, so I had to call 911 and
Oh, wow.
stuff. So I actually do feel this experience. Like I remember feeling like my heart like going to the ground, like dropping. So yeah, so I have seen this in person. Thankfully, they made it through and stuff. But it's just so scary to like, and then I can't even imagine. Like, I remember my first thought when I did actually see something like that in real life, I actually did think, oh no, are they dead? So that's kind of like what this scene reminds me of from my real life and stuff from back then. So yeah, it was just like so scary. And the fact that it looks so real.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, they made the body, I mean, even with all that acid. And it is kind of interesting though how you see the corpse and stuff, but like half of it, like its face is like I think there's like an eyeball that looks like white and stuff, and then it's just like red. And oh man, that bloody redness is just so realistically. And yeah, it gave me chills where I was like, oh man, this is getting spooky. But what, and I know like this scene is really scary, but what really scared me was when they were leaving, actually, to go and report, all this information to the police and stuff and try to get Mackie, was they saw all the pictures of the missing children and stuff, and then they also see a picture of Davy on the wall. It's like, oh no, like I can imagine like Davy thinking, oh no, I'm next, but also thinking, okay, well this is gonna be all it's gonna be all over because we're gonna go and present our evidence. And oh, and then the fact that this was Mackie's old bedroom too, like as a child. Like I wonder, like when did this all start? Like did it start when he was a child? And then why does he bring his victims in there, which blows my mind even more, like
Into his
how
own home, yeah.
sick, yeah, like how more sick can
I
you.
think, well, I'm just gonna speculate here, but based on my psychology training app, I did study psychology in college, by the way. But I mean, that and I mean, we didn't really study that specifically in college, but I read about some of that stuff and on my own time, and also basically from stuff you see in the media and so on and so forth. But for one, I think you brought up a good point that he basically froze himself in time by keeping that room intact, so to speak. So a lot of people that I'm not a big fan of true crime, to be honest, but people that I mean, I read about it every now and then, but it's a common theory among psychologists that a lot of serial killers start developing these tendencies when they're kids. And usually the thing is they start by killing little animals, so dogs, cats, squirrels, rabbits, etc. And then from there, that's when they get older, they eventually start doing to people. So that is one thing that people always talk about how these things start manifesting themselves when the person is young. So it's possible that, like you said, he might have started having these ideas when he was a little kid. Something happened to him or something that flicked that switch in his mind. And so he kind of wants to keep that going in a way. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
And the other thing
Definitely.
about bringing the victims to his house, I think it's just the thrill of it. Because, I mean, he knows that somebody's gonna see him at some point. Or he might. I mean, there's. Somebody's gonna see him. If it's not with this victim, it's gonna be with the next one or the next one. So someone's gonna see something. So he's doing this for the thrill because he knows that someone's gonna watch him. And not only that, but it's just, I guess, exciting for him that he's doing it in his house. And his house is basically his domain, so he feels, I guess, safe there, maybe. Not only that, feeling safe, but I think he would also feel the strongest because it's his house.
Yeah, and
So
like the comfort too.
anywhere they try to run, he knows the house better than the kids do or whatever. So even if they try to run, he knows where they're gonna go. So, I mean, that sounds disturbing, but I mean, this is how some people would argue that a killer would think. Not that I'm a professional or anything, I'm not saying that. But if somebody were to ask me what I thought about this guy as a killer, then that's what I would be saying. Well, I think maybe it's possible this guy started when he was a kid, and then he just brings the victims to his house because it's a rush for him to maybe have somebody, the possibility that somebody will see him in the case like Davey does eventually. And not only that, yeah, but also the fact that he is in his fortress, in his castle, basically. So he knows that place better than the victims do, so he can always be ahead of them as far as, you're gonna run that way? Well, I'm gonna come around this way and catch you, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So, yeah, that whole thing is pretty creepy.
Yeah, for
So, is it your turn or my turn? I kind of lost track here.
sure. I think it's your turn now. Yeah.
I thought I already said mine because I said about the I started talking about
Oh,
the whole
yes.
camcorder
Okay,
scene, so
yeah.
it is
Okay.
your turn.
So, this is kind of like, I guess the last favorite scene of mine, and I'm pretty sure you probably it's your favorite too.
Okay, so hang on. Wait. I'm sorry. Before you start, are you talking about the end of the movie
Yes. Like
or the chase
the
scene?
yes. The
Which,
chasing.
okay, so the one where he takes him to this island thing, whatever.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, you can talk about that. I guess I want to talk about the end again.
Okay. Okay. All right. So this one was crazy. This scene, the way it opens and where, where it is and stuff. It kind of gave me like JonBenet vibes. Like, her story, being like kidnapped in her house. I don't know, just like the creepiness of Mackie, like in Davey's house and kidnapping him and his friend too, which is really sad. But yeah, so he takes them to an island, and so he kind of like drugs them, knocks them out, so they're out, and then they get to the island. Oh man, that one was really creepy. That's probably like the one scene where it caught me by surprise. I was not expecting that to happen. Because, they put out an what is it called? An APB on Mackie. So I just thought, okay, it's already gonna end. And then this happens, it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. It's getting interesting. Like more interesting. And it just I did not expect that the island. And then what freaks me out is, he's chasing these two boys and they're waking up, and he wants to play a game with them, kind of like almost like Saw vibes too. Like, I want to play a game. But what's also creepy is this island is like filled with like bloody corpses everywhere. And it's just, oh, I can't imagine just like being in an island with like bloody like skulls everywhere. I would probably be crying hysterically. Like, oh, I cannot.
I mean, I thought you liked creepy decorations.
I
Well,
do, but I think in real life,
oh yeah.
like an actual
There's a
like
difference between
scene.
a decoration and an actual skull.
Like a fresh body, because they looked like fresh bodies.
Yeah.
like I can see schools and not like get like too scared, you know? But and I actually love making, you know, like bloody skeletons and stuff. DIYs, okay? Like plastic, not real and stuff. But like these actually look very real. And I think, I don't know, I think I would be very scared to see like a fresh bloody corpse like that. I think, I don't know. I don't know. It was really creepy in that island, like all alone, and there's nobody. Like you are alone without mommy and daddy, you know? And your poor friend is like running for his life too and can barely move as well, because I don't know if he tripped or something, but he couldn't move. He couldn't move fast as Davy.
I think he might have hurt him also in some way or another. I think he might have injured him or
Okay.
something. I don't
Yeah,
remember seeing
and he
that,
couldn't
but
move
yeah, because he's running kind of awkwardly, and I don't want to think it's because of his weight. I mean, he's kind of a big kid, you know? But I don't want to think, yeah, I don't want to think that's the reason why he can't run properly. I think Mackie might have done something to him, but I can't remember, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't remember either, but yeah, I know he has trouble like moving. And it did look like he was hurt. Woody, that's the name of his friend. And so, you know, Davy is like, no, you stay here. I'm gonna distract him. And so Davy is telling Woody, like, you know, get to safety. You know, I brought you into this mess. Go, don't worry. And so, you know, poor Woody is like trying his best. And Davy like goes and tries to distract, you know, Mackie and stuff. And so there's the chasing and stuff. And then for a second there, I thought Mackie was going after Davy. Like, I thought he was gonna be like, okay, I'm going to like end Davy now. So that surprised me too, that whole scene.
I wanted to go back to the beginning and kind of, because there is a lot to talk about when it comes to this scene, this whole sequence. After Mackie was reported to the cops and they put out the APB and everything, and it looks like the end, a lot of movies would have ended here at this point when Davey reports everything to the cops and they're already looking for him, and that would appear. That's what it seemed like to me the first time that I saw the movie. Like, okay, so the movie's almost over. They're probably just gonna show one last scene to show what happens at the very end or something. And then I saw how much time was left, and I saw there's about 20 minutes left in the movie, and I was like, whoa. I was like, it can't be 20 minutes of credits. You know, it's not a Marvel movie. So I was thinking, like, something else is gonna happen. And that's when you find out that this guy was hiding in their attic, Mackie. And this is one of, I think the only scene or the part of the movie that I kind of have a question about, because he hides in the attic, which is that's not what I have the problem with. What I have the question about is how was he able to drag him out of their house without making a noise? Because even Davey, I mean, he looks kind of like tall kid, so I'm putting him at about 140 pounds, which isn't a lot. I mean, I guess for a guy like Mackie, but you're gonna grunt, you're gonna be stepping, like you're not gonna be tiptoeing when you're carrying this guy out of the house. And if you drag him, you're gonna be making noise because you're dragging him in the floor. And then Woody looks bigger. I put him at maybe about 180 pounds, 170 something, at least. So even more of an effort for him to take the body out of the house. And that's the only thing that about this movie that I was like, how did he do that? But then, I mean, he does, and he takes him to his little hideout body graveyard thing, island. His own little personal graveyard, really. And so he takes him there, and the whole plan all along was not to kill Davy. The whole plan was what he does in the end, and to me, that's actually a scarier thing, like a more sadistic thing for him to do, because he basically hunts him and his friend with the idea that he's gonna make Davy watch or find his friend after he killed him. So Davy's gonna know he was responsible for his friend's death. And then when he confronts him at the very end, Mackie's like, "No, I'm not gonna kill you. I'm just gonna let you live. But you're always gonna be looking over your shoulder, wondering if I'm behind you, because one day I am gonna be behind you," or something like that. So that is more terrifying because, I mean, if he kills him, okay, he kills him and he only enjoys that for a couple minutes. And it sounds weird to say that, but I'm thinking, in the sense of how a killer in a movie would be thinking. Right? So, for him to decide that, "No, I'm not gonna kill you. I'm gonna make you suffer because you're not gonna know when I'm coming back for you, but one day I am coming back for you." So, this kid's life is ruined forever. He can't ever enjoy anything, any day in life, because he's gonna be wondering, "Is this guy gonna finally come out of the woodwork and kill me? Or is he gonna wait till I'm 30 years old or something and he's gonna kill me?" I mean, how would you live like that? Could you live like that?
Definitely not. No, I don't think I would personally. Yeah.
I would move out of that country. I would just pack my bags and get the hell out of there.
I feel like somehow they would get tracked down if it's like a crazy
He's a cop, so
serial
he probably
killer.
has some
Yeah.
sort of connections somewhere, and
Connections.
he could
Yeah.
always, but at the very least, you put some distance between you and him,
Yeah. Oh, there was this show, another like crime show, but it kind of also reminds me of that too. One of, and it's actually a true crime, and it's one of the girls that actually survived in Denver, Colorado and stuff. And, she was saying like she would be still living in fear if they hadn't caught the guy that kidnapped her and stuff. And she was like, it's crazy to think, like, wow, like, this stuff actually happens. Just the fact that, like, how she said, from my show that I watched, that, she was saying, like, I don't think I can live my life in peace knowing he's out there. And so, kind of, this is kind of like what, how the ending is. Like, how, like a real actual. It's not like pretend, it's a real experience. And, from her experience, she's saying like, I don't think I can live, And so, and then putting it in, movie and having Davey like thinking, wow, what do I do? And how do I move forward? It's really, really scary to just be in that position, and I would be so scared. I'll probably be like definitely crying a lot, and just I don't know, probably like you said, probably try to leave anywhere that I would know where they were or something to have my safety and stuff. But yeah, it's scary. It's so scary because this actually does happen in real life, and that's what's more traumatizing, I think. So yeah, so I really loved this movie. It was very different.
It would be really difficult for anyone to move on after living through a traumatizing experience like that and not knowing where the person that attacked you is at any point. So, if you find out they're in prison or somebody caught him or something like that, then that's good because you have that peace of mind at least. But in that case, for example, that like you mentioned, where if they hadn't caught that guy, this girl would have been forever traumatized. Like, I mean, she probably still is, mind you, but at least she would have now the peace of mind to know, okay, this guy's in prison or they caught him, so he's no longer a threat to me. But if they hadn't, I mean, imagine.
Yeah,
Wow.
that's wild to me.
And the other thing that I want to talk about is the very, very end of the movie, the last sequence in the movie, because it's really important. Because it really hammers the point home. In the sense that it's basically a replay of the beginning of the movie, the very first scene, but now it's completely different. It's a 180. It's a total different mood, a total different vibe In the sense that in the beginning, Davy looked all happy and optimistic, and now he's just crushed at the very end because everything is different. Because think about it. He basically feels responsible for the death of his friend, right? So that's one thing. The other thing is that the friend's mom moved out of the house. Woody's mom. She sold the house and she's not living there anymore. And then his crush, Nikki, her parents also make her move away. I think she's gonna go to college somewhere. But they're certainly not gonna let her stay there anymore. Because, again, this guy's on the loose, Mackie. So, one of his friends is dead. The girl he likes is gonna be gone to college forever. He's probably never gonna see her again. And then his other friends, which we haven't really talked about too much, but I mean, they're cool characters, but I think they have the least development in the movie.
In the movie.
But one of them, I think they call him Eats or something, and the other one is what's his name? Hang on, let me check.
Faraday.
Faraday, yeah.
Yeah.
So Eats and Faraday, at the very end, they're destroying the treehouse.
Yes.
They're tearing everything apart, and at one point in the movie, they actually mentioned like, "Oh man, I think my parents want me to destroy this, but I don't want to because it's like a cool place for us to hang out." But now that everything is different, they're tearing it down. They're like, "I don't want to be reminded of this place anymore." So they're tearing down basically the last piece of their childhood, basically. And not only that, but they ignore Davey when he's driving the bike past them.
Yeah.
They don't even look at him. They don't even say hi to him. So his friends hate him, probably. And they hate him, I think, because for the entire movie, they were trying to convince him, dude, let's stop. Stop. Let's not do this. What are you doing? This is a stupid plan. I mean, Davey ended up being right. And he ended up doing, quote unquote, the right thing, but it cost him pretty much everything. So that to me is also another horrifying thing about this movie, because knowing that he was right and that he did, quote unquote, the right thing, but it's still everyone he cared about is gone.
You know, like his whole life changed. You know, he may have stopped more killings, but the downfall is his whole life changed.
And not only that, but this guy's always gonna be hunting him, so I mean.
Yeah. Oh, it's so scary.
So it's a really interesting point to think about because, I mean, it kind of makes you, again, it makes you think, like, is the right thing worth doing if it's going to cost you everything?
Right. That's a really hard decision because, you know, sometimes you don't know what's the end results and how, you know, how they're going to unfold by different people and stuff and their actions.
Yeah, of course. I mean, when he started thinking about all this, he wasn't thinking about it not working. He wasn't thinking about it backfiring on him in a way. He was being optimistic and no, we can catch this guy and we're gonna stop him and everything's gonna be cool. And yeah, they caught him and they stopped him, or they didn't catch him. They proved that he was the killer. And he's not around anymore for a while, but again, everyone he cared about is gone from his life. So no, his friends don't talk to him anymore. His other friend is dead. His quote unquote girlfriend is gone forever. So, I don't know. It's kind of a really dark and depressing way to end the movie, but I think that's what, for me, what makes this movie stand out from a lot of other ones.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Because in real life, the good guys don't always win.
Right.
And we hate thinking about that. We want the good guys to win and the bad guys to be put in jail or die or whatever, but that's not the case in this movie.
Yeah, it kind of puts a lot of things in perspective.
Definitely. So I kind of want to leave that question in the air. Is the right thing worth doing if it's going to cost you everything?
Yeah,
I
definitely.
mean, again, mind you, Davey didn't know that it was going to cost him everything, but you're risking a lot by trying to catch a criminal when you're not a cop, when you're just a kid. So, don't know. I hope I wasn't too much of a Debbie Downer.
I know. No,
Right?
you're good.
I don't know. People are gonna be like, well, I'm not gonna listen to this anymore.
I ain't gonna watch this one. But it's so good. What's so amazing too, I just want to point out, even if I know anybody who listens to the show will definitely, hopefully, is a horror fan. But if you are a horror fan and you have a friend or somebody who isn't, a really close person, who isn't into horror, I would recommend watching it because it is so good. Because I actually watched it with somebody who doesn't like horror and stuff, and they absolutely loved it. So, yeah, it was that good. And I loved it so much.
Yeah, because once again, I don't think it's a horror movie, but it the questions that it makes you ask yourself at the end, it is kind of horrific to think about.
Yes. Yeah. No, very traumatizing for sure.
Yeah, and so I'm just gonna go off on a little rant here for a minute. But I mean, when people talk down about horror movies, and again, this is not a horror movie per se, but it reminds me of slasher movies from the 80s, like I said earlier. And to me, this is a really well done movie that could be thought of as having some sort of horror elements to it. So I'm gonna refer to it as a horror movie for this point.
Yeah.
But basically saying that a lot of people talk down about horror movies, especially the slasher ones.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, I don't like some of the movies that have been coming out in the past few years that people think are like, oh my God, this is the best horror movie ever. And I mean, mind you, all of us have our own opinions, right?
Right.
But there's this whole thing about people talking about, I don't know if you heard about this, but something called elevated horror,
Okay.
where it's movies that quote unquote make you think. And I found this movie to be a lot better than a lot of those other movies that people think are like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. And I can give you examples. Movies like, for example, Midsommar, which I didn't like at all, I'm sorry. And also Hereditary. I can't speak to my own. Yeah,
Hereditary. Yeah.
that one. So those two movies are not my cup of tea, and if they are yours or somebody else out there, that's fine. I mean, your opinions. But I think this movie's better than those, and I wouldn't really call this a horror movie per se, but I think it's a better movie just in general. I mean, just I guess the point that I'm trying to make is that when it comes to horrific elements in movies, you don't have to be really pretentious and really artistic in a way, kind of artsy. I don't know. It's just a personal opinion, so I'm just gonna say that.
Yes.
Have you seen either of those movies, by the way?
Yes, I have.
Did you like
Yeah,
them?
I've seen. Yeah, I mean, I liked Midsommar. It was really not super weird, but I had actually never even heard of Midsommar. That's an actual thing, where part of the world is day, and then there's a little bit of nighttime. I didn't know that existed, so that was kind of cool, learning about that. It definitely gave me just a bit of creepy vibes, with the ladies dancing around. It's just, I don't know, just it reminded me of school when I was little. And yeah, that was really scary because we had to sing these songs that were I don't know, just freaky, just I don't know. But yeah, so and it was required, we had to do that. So yeah, it was really, really, it just reminded me of that. Hereditary, that one was kind of cool. I only loved it because the mom is obsessed with miniatures. And I love dollhouses and miniatures. I have seven horror dollhouses. So I think that's why that's something that I really appreciated, and like the miniature and like in horror and stuff. Because I feel like a lot of the times, a lot of like miniatures don't get represented in horror. So I really appreciated that. I think they were good movies, but just very different, in different ways.
Yeah, I mean, I think that each of those movies has good things to them, but I don't really get it as far as why people were so obsessed with them. I
Yeah.
mean, but again, each of us has our opinions, and that happens to be mine.
I would agree with you that this one, Summer of 84, I feel definitely from watching all those three that this one, Summer of 84, is definitely it definitely just made me like, whoa, like this is so good. Like this was really, really good. Kind of response after watching it. So yeah, Summer of 84 was, I would definitely give it a higher rating than the other two.
Yeah, and just to close that point off, I brought those movies up because this movie left me with lingering questions. Like what I asked earlier about, is the right thing worth doing when you know it's going to cost you everything? Or even if you don't know if it's going to cost you everything, but even if you have some sort of, if there's a lot of stakes in place. So that's definitely one the biggest question this movie left me with. And those other movies, I had no questions about them. I just want them to be over. So that is why I brought them up. It's just like, one of those things where, like, I mean, maybe I just don't get it. I'll say
Yeah.
that. Maybe I just the movies are above my head and I just don't get them, and that's a possibility. But I didn't enjoy them. Anything else you want to add, Maria, before we close off the episode?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Okay. So, it's just kind of like a quick fun fact. So in the movie, there's actually the urban legend called Polybius.
Yeah, Polybius, yeah.
Yeah, the arcade game actually makes an appearance in the background of the bowling alley with an out of order sign on it.
Oh,
So it makes
yeah.
an appearance in the
Yeah. Yeah,
movie.
I saw that. Yeah, you're right.
Yes. And so I was
Yeah.
like, oh my, I love this. Because it's super like, old school, like 80s. And also just like another fun fact too, I just want to throw in a last one, was did you know there was on the wall of the missing boys on Mackie's house was actually one of the victims of John Wayne Gacy
In real life?
in real life.
Wow, no, I never knew that. Wow.
They used a real picture on the wall. So that was really creepy to me. I was like, whoa, I did not expect that. So yeah, so it did kind of give me a little bit of those vibes too, similarities with Mackie. Especially, because I think he did his stuff in the 70s. So this was like what, like 10 years prior from the setting of Summer 84. So that was kind of interesting to me. But yeah, so I just wanted to throw those quick things
Wow.
out.
No, I mean that's definitely really cool information because I never knew that they used a picture of an actual murder victim for this movie.
Yeah, which was
Wow.
really creepy.
Definitely for sure. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, hopefully they got permission.
Yeah, hopefully.
Because yeah, that it'd be really weird if they just kind of put the picture there without asking anybody, from the family or whatever. I mean, I do have one last thing to add, and that is that I asked people on Twitter on a survey again.
Yay.
I'm gonna try to do this every week from now on, and it's something that I've done in the past, but I've done it every now and then. But I'm gonna try to make it a weekly thing from now on. So basically, what I asked them, and it has to do with the movie, with Summer of '84. So the movie that, or the question rather, that I asked was, what would you do if you found out your neighbor was secretly a serial killer?
Oh boy.
So the choices that were given to the people on Twitter were report them to the cops, you investigate more on your own, or you just don't get involved at all. So, actually, investigating more got the least votes at 6%. So,
Wow.
I want to think that people are smart out there. They're not
Yeah.
going to go snooping around and breaking into homes. And
Yeah.
I mean, we're not all Nancy Drew guys.
Yeah,
For anyone out there,
definitely
Nancy Drew is a series of books about a girl that investigates crimes. I have a good idea that a lot of people don't know who she is. But anyways, choosing to not get involved got 21% of the vote. So that's still kind of high for me. I mean, people just ignore the fact that they know that their neighbor is killing people and they're not going to do anything about it. I mean, that's a little weird, but okay. And 74% of people would just report them to the cops.
Wow.
So, on the record, I think that's the smartest idea.
Yeah, definitely. But that blows my mind though about not like ignoring it.
I know, right?
Yeah, that's a very interesting answer. As not wanting to get involved. You know, I understand not wanting to get involved, but maybe let somebody know.
I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, and maybe they would be scared that this guy knows they're the ones that told on him.
That's true. Yeah.
So, if for some reason he goes to trial and he gets acquitted, he ends up not going to jail, then they're maybe, yeah, maybe they're afraid that this guy's gonna go and hey, you're the one that told on me, so kind of thing. So, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
It's just a question of fear, of not wanting to be hunted by this guy or whatever.
Yeah, definitely.
So having said all that was our discussion on Summer of 84. I want to thank you, Mariah, for choosing this movie because it's awesome.
Yes, I'm so excited. I actually did a recipe on Inspired,
Oh, cool.
on
And
this
we'll be sharing that next week for sure.
one. Yes.
So it's definitely one of my favorite movies of the past 5 years, if not more, 10 years maybe. Oh, before we leave, actually, we need to give a scores for this. So, let's see. We're gonna start off with the movie itself out of 10. So, let's think of some units for this movie. Okay, I got it.
Okay.
So, how many milk cartons out of 10? Zero being the movie's terrible and 10 being the movie's awesome. How many do you give it?
I would probably definitely say 10.
10 milk cartons, awesome. I would agree with you. I'll give this movie a 10. I mean, there's things that are not perfect about it, but I like this movie so much that yeah.
It was so good.
Yeah, so 10 and 10 milk cartons out of 10 from each of us. So awesome. Movie gets a perfect score. And now giving a score to Mackie himself as a villain, as a serial killer, as a bad guy. So, for this, Mariah, we normally do skulls. So, how many skulls out of 10? Zero being he sucks, and 10 being he's really creepy and scary.
I would say 9 skulls.
Nine?
Yes.
All right, so on this one, I'm gonna give him 8, a little bit less than you, because of that question that I had about how did he carry those bodies out of the house and not make any noise.
Yeah.
I'm just being that picky, but yeah.
Okay.
But for sure, yeah. I mean, it's still a pretty high score. 8 from me and 9 from you. So, yeah, I mean, that was a pretty good movie. Everyone listening, go out and watch it. You love
Yes.
it. So, all right, having said all that, now we are about to say goodbye here. So, before we do that, we need to remind you that we have our social media profiles. So, go and find us on Twitter, Facebook, etc. Easiest way to find us is on linktree.com/mythsbehindLGDS. We also have a merch store, and I believe I have a link for that, but if I don't, I'll update it somewhere. I'll just post it somewhere. But yeah, we have a merch store. We have a whole bunch of shirts and drinking glasses and stuff like that, so do check that out. I'll post the link shortly. And by all means, if you have listened to this episode or any of the other ones and you enjoyed it, go ahead and give us a rating. Give us a 5-star because we're awesome. Right, Maria?
Oh yeah, we are
All
definitely awesome, and you should please rate us.
Five stars, please. And yeah, leave us a review, a rating, and we would really appreciate that. So thank you very much. And having said that, that was our episode. Stay away from creepy neighbors that look creepy because they are creepy.
Yes.
Neighbors that you might think might be holding a deep, dark secret in their basement. Stay away from them. Don't go into their homes at night alone. And yeah, well, until we see you on the next one, have a good one. Say bye.
Bye. That's so funny.